Jaya Daita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda So we are beginning the celebrations of Gaur Purnima exactly when the Purnima is. Some say that according to calendars the Purnima is today, but the computer says that it's tomorrow. So computers control our life these days. So we celebrate on both days, and today we have more time, so it's an auspicious occasion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is said to be the most merciful incarnation of Lord Krishna. Namo Mahavarinyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Dvishanamaha. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that Krishna came into this world to give the teachings as he gave them in Bhagavad Gita. And at the end of the Gita, Lord Krishna said, Sarva dharmam parichaya mamekam saranam braja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha yasyami masucha. Which basically means, give up all types of occupation or belief, just surrender unto me. I will deliver you from all the reactions of your sinful activities. Do not fear. So Krishna was basically calling out for surrender. But who surrendered? It is mentioned that Krishna himself was thinking in this way. I have given everything, but people have not taken it. They have not taken to it. They have not actually properly taken up the spiritual path. Then he thought, therefore let me appear myself in the form of a teacher and teach by example. And in this way, people will take to it. It's a fact. If someone doesn't learn, then you show, no, this is how you do it. So in this way, Krishna came in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different from Radha and Krishna. Both are present in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly comes to uplift the fallen souls of this age of Kali, this age, the age of materialism, the demonstration of our three little pigs are showing how different people are somehow or other entangled in the material world. If it's not intoxication, then it's money, 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 money. And otherwise, it is some new age philosophy. But who actually properly understands the Supreme Lord and that the goal of life is spiritual life? Very few. Very few. We see it everywhere. All over the world, people have given up spiritual traditions very quickly. Churches have been turned into offices or into bars. Yes. Temples are abandoned and no one ever goes there. They are cracked and breaking down, and just so many temples like that. Broken, neglected temples. So many. So gradually in this age, spiritual life is diminishing and diminishing and diminishing. Therefore, more than on the strength of personal qualification, people need spiritual life on the strength of mercy. Even we ourselves, somehow or other, we have some interest in spiritual life. Otherwise, why would we be here? But although we have interest, and although some of us actually come from a background of spiritual activities, others not so, whatever may be, wherever we come from, all of us are weak. Who can say that he is strong, strong in determination? Who can say that he is able to be always enthusiastic? Who can say that he can resist the temptations in this world? You know it's not good, and still you do it. Why? Why? Weakness. Why? Why? Why are we so weak? Why are we acting in degraded activities against our will? Why? Why do people have weakness? Why can we not apply ourselves? A great saintly person like Srila Prabhupada came and brought such great knowledge and showed such great example of devotion. Why can't we follow him more seriously? Why? What is the difficulty? Why? Why is it that in this age there is no peace? At work there is no peace. They push you, they pull you, they milk you, and somehow or other they want more work now and less pay. That is the policy, the new policy. More work, less pay. Yes, they milk you and milk you and milk you. Why? Why is all this happening? And then you come at home, and there also, there is quarrel. Why? Why is there quarrel? Even at home. Why no peace? Why no peace? It is the age of Kali. It is mentioned that at the beginning of this age of Kali, it was noticed that sons were not listening to their parents, that wives were arguing with their husbands, and that kings were exploiting their citizens. Then it was known, the age of Kali has begun. Now, the age of Kali has progressed for 5,000 years. And in those 5,000 years, gradually, little by little, all the qualities of goodness have crumbled. There are people who eat from garbage cans. There are people who are running and running to catch more and more money until they die of heart attacks. There are people who are totally confused about what is spiritual life. So, these are symptoms of the age of Kali, the iron age of materialism. It is in this age that we can actually, that it's difficult to progress. Everyone has become corrupted. That is the problem. Not only are others corrupted, but we ourselves. When we look at ourselves, then we know we too are afflicted by the same disease, the influence of Kali. The play may show us some exaggerated characters. But we see there is something in their character that we also find in us. Now, what is coming out of Bollywood, right, resembles one who eats from the garbage. because there's a lot of garbage coming out of Bollywood, or Hollywood, or so many woods. What can be said if there is still wood left? When there is wood, they're cutting it down to sell it at a profit. So, let us not waste our time. Let us not join in. The world may be more and more going that way. We spoke today about India and how the generations are changing. And now, the diet is changing. And now, you can't be fanatic anymore. At home, maybe still following some standard, but outdoors, not at all. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he brings new life. We are chanting, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam Bhava Mahadavakti Nirvapanam Sreyakaireva Chandika Vitaranam Vijavadu Jivanam Anandam Purivardhanam Pratipadam Punamritasvadanam Sarvatmanam Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This prayer has been composed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this prayer says that this Sankirtan movement, the movement of glorifying Krishna, is like a white lotus that opens up in the darkness of night. The Kairava is a white lotus that blossoms at night, not in the day, but at the full moon it blossoms. So, even in the darkness of this age of Kali, a lotus will blossom. Yes. This lotus that blossoms at night is the Mahamantra of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the darkness of Kali, this lotus will blossom. And what will it do? It is said, it is the life of transcendental knowledge. That's the problem. Everywhere in the world, spiritual institutions are empty. A Muslim and a Christian were getting married, and there was no problem, because they weren't following their religion anyway. So it was easy. It all had become hollow and empty for namesake. Why? Because why all over the world are these institutions emptying out? Because there is endless ritual. And what it means, nobody knows. Why? Why are we doing all these things? Why? Why you have to be a vegetarian? Why? If we have teeth, like on the corners. Why we have to be? If we can eat it, then why can we not eat it? Isn't it what nature has arranged for us? Non-vegetarian food? Why is there a prohibition if we can naturally digest it and grow old with it? Then why must we be vegetarian? What is your answer? How will you convince me? How? Please, convince me. Why? Why? Any argument? Why?
Because we don't have to take the life of another being to satisfy our hunger.
But it is all about taking lives, my friend. The wood on the floor is life. Your house is made of lives. When you step on the road, there are ants. You take life at every breath, at every step. And if you go into the garden with a knife behind your back and you just mercilessly approach an innocent cauliflower and then with your knife you cut off the head of that cauliflower, are you proud
of being a vegetarian, you Kali killer?
We'll do a special cauliflower sacrifice and offer it to Krishna.
You do a cauliflower sacrifice and offer it to Krishna? Krishna. Isn't that ghastly? Right? Innocent cauliflower is nicely growing and then he's sacrificed. That sounds ghastly. Yes.
Our digestive system is different from carnivorous animals.
But yeah.
It's different. Probably it's meant for vegetarian.
But many people are getting old as vegetarians.
Yeah, likewise, lingering more diseases.
You see strong people here in Australia, right? No worries. Excuse me? A teeth, huh? What's wrong with a teeth?
I think Maharaj, you are leading to karma.
Karma. But what is the proof of all those things? What's the proof? You see? What's your proof? How do you know karma is true? What's your proof? It says in your scriptures, but how do you know your scriptures are true? It's nice that you have scriptures that say that there is karma, but how do you know that these scriptures are true? What's your proof?
Well, you have to have some faith.
Previous acharyas.
Sorry? But maybe they also didn't know. But maybe in the cyclic succession they all didn't know.
It's coming from Lord Krishna.
How do you know? Who says? You read it in the newspaper?
Bhagavad Gita.
So, why you believe Bhagavad Gita?
You can follow that and you can find that for yourself. It's a practical science.
I can follow so many things and find it for myself as a practical science. Cricket is also a practical. It's great. Stay fit and it's fun at the same time. You ever play? You play cricket? No. If you would, you would be more fit. Would be happier in life. We play cricket all the time, isn't it, Yogi?
He's a great bowler.
But who takes authority anyway?
Uh-huh.
You know, the whole point of authority is on what basis is any so-called knowledge accepted?
Right.
On it.
That's right. Who can you trust? Who can you trust? She trusts her Bhagavad Gita. She trusts her disciplic succession. You trust your Vedas. But I trust myself. What I see with my own eyes. What feels good. Because who can you trust? Everyone's telling me this is the truth. But how do I know? How do I know it for sure? So much ritual. And your Bhagavad Gita tells me I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't live. In the name of religion, people are not allowed to live. Is this what your religion is teaching? Don't live. Forbidden to live. Is that what you're telling me?
Just have some
prasad. You guys are ruthless. So people are looking for answers and they ask questions. Maybe I am very obnoxious and exaggerated, just like our pigs were. But the fact of the matter is that people want answers. They don't just want to follow. We do it because it's tradition. We do it because it says in the holy book. Right? So no, people want practical experience. That is better. And otherwise, forget it. Huh? Yeah. It's got to be real. And You can't also tell me, just follow this book during this life, and then in the next one, you get all the benefits. Mm-mm. I don't want to wait for the next life, because I'm not sure if there is one. And then what? If there is no next life, then I've missed the boat. This is what we encounter. Maybe in our own families we encounter such people. Maybe amongst our own colleagues we find such people. And maybe even some of such thoughts are echoing in our own mind, that we sometimes think, well, sometimes someone says, how do you really know that Krishna exists? Have you seen him? How do you know? So there are moments that our faith is tested. And sometimes heavy things can happen. And then you think, how can there be a God when such injustice is happening to me? How can God allow this, so much suffering in the world? Haiti, recently. How is it possible? And karma is the explanation? That sounds like a very heavy God who has karma that he wipes out a whole country. Is that karma? That a whole country has to die? Is that a loving God? Or so now that I've brought out all the doubts, now I don't know how I'm going to repair the damage. I guess next Sunday no one's coming back. Not after this, right? No. Yes. If it's philosophy alone, then there will be doubt. It is said, Balavan Indriyan Gramo Vitvam Samapika Sati. The senses are so strong that even those who are learned will struggle. Learning is good. If you have knowledge from the books, it is good. There is wisdom there. There is wisdom. And they tell you, go for the long-term benefit. Not just for the immediate, but for the long-term. What is lasting? Go for the lasting benefit. Well, something to say for that. Right? Something to say for that. Right? And nowadays, modern psychology is catching up fast. Yes, modern psychology catching up very fast. And now they have discovered that marriage is healthy. Because it has been found out that women who are married live 4 years longer than women that are not married. There you go. Add 4 years to your life. And for men, guess what? 7 years. Marriage adds 7 years to your life. And compare that to smoking. If you're an habitual smoker, smoking takes away 6 years of your life. So, get married, and you're still 1 year ahead. There you go. And it has been discovered, if you have no friends at all, you lose 9 years of your life. All statistically proven. Hard scientific studies are proving now. Interesting. So, yes, some values are certainly important. Long-term benefit, all right. That we get from the scripture. But sometimes you think, but can't we just break the rules sometimes? Can't everyone break the rules sometimes? Even in India, they are breaking the rules sometimes. Now, sometimes the standards are not followed. Sometimes there is a good reason. Sometimes we cannot do. Why? Why? Why is that? In the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada begins to explain. And he said, everything in this world moves on taste. Everything moves on taste. You can't just live by tradition just because the last 27 generations in your family have done all these things. Does that mean you have to do it also if you have no taste? Huh? If you have no taste, you go to the satsang. Everyone sleeps. It's too dry. There is no juice. Oh. So, everything depends on taste. If there's taste, oh yes, I want to do it. Yes, then surely taste. The key of Lord Chaitanya's movement is taste, not ritual. It is higher taste. Kirtan, Sankirtan, it's about taste. Singing, dancing, it's about taste. Prasadam, it's about taste. The secret of this movement is taste. And in the beginning, there is some taste. She already tempted me with prasadam, but wasn't fully convinced because that cauliflower killer over there. So, I mean, he wanted me to have cauliflower sabji. Never. Yes. So, this movement of Lord Chaitanya is adding taste. Never before. Such taste has been there. Ah yes, there has been knowledge, understanding. This is better. Better. It is in your own interest to follow all these religious principles. Okay, yes, yes, yes. But where is the taste? If there is no taste, how long can you follow it? Swamiji, on the Indian train. Swamiji, yes, oh, so nice, you are now Swamiji. Please, Swamiji, tell us, how are you following all these things? We cannot follow. How can you follow all these things? How can we follow? How can we follow? How can anyone follow? How can anyone follow? And the principles that Srila Prabhupada came to bring, even more strict than strict, more orthodox than orthodox, more rigid than rigid. When I first saw Hare Krishnas in my town, I was innocently gone out doing some shopping. Suddenly this grey van comes into my town, the back door opens up, and all these little pink men come out. Too many, if you know what I mean. Too many for one van. It couldn't be. So I was wondering, where are they coming from? Just then, they made a human chain and they walked into the shopping street in my direction. Boy, was I scared. I ran into a shop and from behind the window, I stared at them. Someone said, it's a dangerous cult. I thought, they sure look dangerous. 3 months later, I saw them on television. And when they said, no fish, meat, eggs, no gambling, no intoxication. And then they said, no sex outside of marriage and then only for procreation on television. Then I knew that they were dangerous. Are we ready to live with such principles? Isn't it a bit much? No, it's not enough. It's not enough. These four principles, that's not enough. That's the beginning of human life. It's that human life begins at these principles. And below it, it's not even human life. Then one is an animal. Then one is actually an animal. Two-legged animals. Many. Dvipada bhasu. Then one is animal. Yes. But this is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's not the International Society for Four Regulative Principles. That's not in the front. That comes behind. First the taste. And then, naturally, when there's the taste, principles will follow. Not first the principles. No. First the taste. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is based on a higher taste, and such higher taste has never been experienced before. Now I'll read you just a few verses and from a scripture, because from the practical level of the world of Kali Yuga, where we all come from, and where everyone is weak, regardless where we come from, I want to take it now for a moment to the pure platform of surrender. The splendid path of pure devotional service, which bewildered the great sages in the past, which material intelligence has no power to enter, which Sukadev Goswami was not able to understand, and which merciful Lord Krishna never revealed to his closest friend, is the place where the dear devotees of Lord Gaura happily enjoy pastimes. There is taste in this, and benefit at the same time. Take your prasadam, and at the same time make spiritual advancement. Dance, and be happy, and get purified from karma at the same time. All these benefits are there. Lord Chaitanya is worshipped by the Upanishads. Lord Chaitanya destroys the pride of the arrogant demigods. And sages who do not worship his lotus feet. What person is so fortunate that he has personally seen Lord Chaitanya? Even though they be scholars learned in all the scriptures, those persons who will not accept that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead must wander in this lifeless world of repeated birth and death. And there is one verse, I don't know where it is, but I remember it, where it is said that if we are not becoming absorbed in the ocean of love of God, then we will have to enter into an ocean of unwanted deeds. It's one of the two. Either, what is this Sankata movement of Lord Chaitanya? It is the movement of glorifying the Supreme Lord. Why not? Everyone likes to glorify somebody. Michael Jackson! Yeah! Michael Jackson! Well, what does he do? He dances, he sings, and so on. Michael, an idol. So many people have an idol. A great sportsman, a great singer, an idol. But all of these idols, they fall short. Tiger Woods. The ideal role model for the world. Tiger Woods. A faithful husband who loves his wife. A great sportsman and the hero of the world was found, unfortunately, in a compromising situation. Lost his reputation. Take him off the list. Tiger Woods, one down. Next hero. This is the problem in the material world. All the heroes turn out to have some corruption. You look for somebody perfect? Try Krishna. Check him out. You look for somebody with a bit of power. You want someone with a little muscle? Krishna is the right one. Krishna went to Mathura, was in a wrestling match, and there Kamsa arranged these big wrestlers to fight with Krishna and Balaram, Chanura and Mustika. And what did Krishna do? Krishna hit this Chanura on the head, and Chanura's eyes popped out of the sockets and were dangling like that. You like strength? Then Krishna is your man. You like beauty? Krishna is quite good looking, attractive to see. Say, yeah, but I'm looking for that in a woman. Maybe, but when you see Krishna, you won't be. You won't be. Then you'll forget anything. All strengths, all beauty, all knowledge, all wealth, all renunciation, all fame, all opulence. So, let's see what taste is there if we start to glorify Krishna. When I joined the Hare Krishna temple, at that time, my first service was cleaning a room, and some important guests were coming, and there was only 5 minutes. So they said, 5 minutes, clean up the room. So I learned in 5 minutes, cleaning a room means you lift up the carpet and you sweep all the dust under the carpet. And as I had just swept it under the carpet, I thought, but Krishna saw that. Now I did it for Krishna, and Krishna just saw that. Because he can see under the carpet as well, and he knows that I put the dust under the carpet. So I lifted up the carpet, took the dust back from under the carpet, and actually chucked it out. To do something right, if we really do something right, proper, as good as we can, and we offer it to Krishna, and you don't ask anything in return, nothing, no blessings, nothing you ask in return, absolutely nothing. You know what happens when you do that? Something strange. Something really strange. Something you've never experienced before. You just do something the best you can, and you offer it to Krishna like that, and you don't ask anything. You know what happens? Strange feeling in your heart. Something like, geez, that was fun actually. That was actually fun. And then you do it again. And then it becomes an addiction. You have to do it again and again. And then you want to do more. And then you say, can I have a go at the drum? And then you say, can I play the harmonium? Can I offer the arti? Can I? And more and more. And somehow there's a taste. There's a taste. This movement operates on taste and then is supported by knowledge, then supported by rules. But first it operates on taste. And that is the secret of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And that is the key to spiritual life. Because out of duty, we can't do it. And that is why sons are no longer following their parents, because out of duty they can't do it. They need taste. They want taste. And in India they say, we are tired of all these rules. We want taste. We want to taste all these things. And in the West, they've been tasting and tasting and tasting, but still not tasting, if you know what I mean. Try to taste everything and yet not happy. But try this taste. And actually, there is some satisfaction because it's not selfish. Everything else is selfish. But this taste, it stays because it's selfless. Selfish taste doesn't last very long. But selfless taste is the one thing that this movement offers. That is the secret of Lord Chaitanya's movement. It's about giving, not about taking. Parents know it. it's nicer to see your son eat 10 pancakes than to eat 10 pancakes yourself. It's a greater pleasure to give than to take. That is the secret of this movement. That is the secret. And if we give to Krishna, then Krishna will give to us. In the beginning you don't notice it, but after a while you begin to see that Krishna starts to do things in your life. And little by first you see, then you start to see Krishna's hand in your life. And more, Krishna starts to act in your life. And you will see until the day will come that you will see him face to face. That day will come in our meditation. That day will come. So that is the movement of Lord Chaitanya. It comes in chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, but in the beginning, there may be no taste. We may be chanting and say, no, you talk about taste. I have no taste. Some things have taste in the beginning, but they taste sweet at first and not so sweet at the end. This may not always taste sweet at first, but then very sweet as one carries on. In this way, this movement is very nice. So, with that, I hope I have restored a little bit of your faith after I first destroyed it. And to show how in this age of Kali, everyone is caught up in weakness. But when we have a higher taste, then we are strong. Out of duty, how long can we do? Out of taste, I can do for the rest of my life. Let there be this taste. So, that was my talk about Lord Chaitanya's movement. Then, Raghunath Prabhu has suggested that we put it into practice and that we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all together and that we chant around. Now, this is the serious way of chanting, the meditational way of chanting, one round of japa. One round of japa, I don't know how much taste we will get in one round. The one round that we are chanting today is a seed. It is the seed for chanting at least one round every day. If we chant one round every day in the morning, just one round, it doesn't take that long, then some taste will awaken. Then it will come. And from there, it moves on to more and more and more and more. That one round, it will do something. So this round that we're chanting is not one round. It is a seed, the seed of many rounds. It is the seed of chanting one round that leads to two rounds, that leads to three, that leads to four, that leads to more, that leads to wanting to chant more and more and more. That is the one round we're going to chant now. Such a round, you don't chant just like that. Right? Such a round, you can chant, but for such a round, you have to first adjust the frame of mind. You have to actually say, okay, I'm going to offer this round to Krishna. And for Krishna, I cannot sweep the dust under the carpet. No, I must offer him the best. So, we have heard that this chanting is so powerful. Now, to really put it to test, we have to give it our best. And we have to try and make the best offering we can to Krishna. Then we will see what Krishna will do. So this is the round we're going to chant. I don't know if everyone has beats, and if there are no beats, then if we have guest beats, we don't have guest beats.
We do, but I think we'll run out, so maybe we can just we have some here.
Some, huh?
So,
okay. Ooh.
We can't get everyone just
yeah. Okay. Anyway, there are some beats. Please try the beats. So, the beat is there to fix the mind. The mind tends to go all over. And between two fingers, we hold the beat and move it. And one full mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare Hare, on one beat. Mm-hmm. The one beat that is that represents Krishna. Vaishnavas say that the one beat representing Krishna, along with 108 gopis. Yes. Others, worshippers of Vishnu, say the beat represents Vishnu, and the 108 beats represent 108 Upanishads. The deepest knowledge, of course, is to know about Krishna and his 108 gopis. So each beat, we chant a mantra, and we don't just chant the mantra, we try to listen to each mantra. We try to hear each mantra. That is the way it's done. And if you hear that you're murmuring, then you're not chanting. So in this way, we must fix the mind. The funny thing is, when we all chant together on these beats, and we seriously try to count on our beats, the thing is, we never finish all at the same time. That's the embarrassing part. We cannot even count properly with beats, but anyway, we'll try. So let us begin at the beginning. Here is your beginning beat, number one. The small one. If it's good, just one big one, one small one, take the small one first. If they're all small, doesn't matter. All right, we got number one. Let us begin. First, we'll invoke the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinoda.